This is The Catholic Current with Father Robert Matague.
There are people who are waking up and they look at the wreckage of the past 3 years and said, I can't be part of business as usual anymore. And then they ask, now what? And I say the now what is the same as always. It's a profound conversion to Christ.
The consequences of that worldview is becoming clear. All this new speak, all these pronouns, these are just the latest translation of the ancient hiss of the serpent. Ye shall be as gods.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, and we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. As always, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, through the intercession of St. Ignatius Loyola, we ask that you pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us, a spirit of discernment, that might hear your voice and obey your command. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, before we begin, I want to give you another reminder. Mark your calendar, August 24th. We are having a great big blowout of a party at the Niagara Falls Convention Center, celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Station of the Cross being on the air. We'd love to see you there. You can get more information by going to thestationofthecross.com/25. It's Tuesday, and we are having a classic Timely Tuesday. A lively guest and I having an open-ended conversation about headlines affecting the church and the world. My returning guest is a listener favorite. She is an author, a commentator, a YouTuber. And she is a great friend of the show, better known as the Crusader Gal, Sarah Kane. Welcome back to The Catholic Current.
Thank you, Father. It's always a pleasure to join you. I have so much respect for what you do with The Catholic Current.
Well, thank you very much. Sarah, you know, it is the election season here in the United States, also known as the silly season. And no matter what happens, someone is going to try to spin it for their purposes. Case in point, the governor of Louisiana signed into law that the Ten Commandments has to be displayed in every state school. The usual histrionics have ensued. You know, this is going to be somehow there's going to be the revival of The Handmaid's Tale. This has to do with white supremacy. There's already the lawsuit about First Amendment violation of the separation of church and state. If you actually look at what the First Amendment says and at America's founding, it turns out the First Amendment has to do with the federal government not starting a national church. And there were a number of states that signed the Constitution that had state churches. I also want to add, too, that I think it's curious that the people who are protesting against the presence of the Ten Commandments haven't been accused of anti-Semitism, which is apparently the newest unforgivable sin against the Holy Spirit. What do you think is going on here?
Well, you're absolutely right. And really, if it's a revival of anything, it would be an attempt at the revival of America, because in the earliest days of America's founding, it would have been very common to have something like the Ten Commandments inside of schools. It was very common to use the Bible as a foundational textbook inside of schools to teach people to read with, for heaven's sake. So the idea that there is some, you know, massive revival of white supremacy, because you've got, I don't know, a bunch of rules which might be described as a moral code. Because ultimately, I think that's what happens. We have people today who are very much afraid of any sort of moral code. And that's why that they reject Christianity at its core, because they find it to be, as they'd like to say, intolerant. And yes, intolerant of evil, as we're supposed to be. And, you know, with this kind of thing, it's like they're constantly trying to create our schools as areas that are completely void of morality, constantly void of any religion thus spoken. And that's the issue here. They want to raise children without morals. And honestly, I think it's important to say that you see it in a different way, but both on the left and on the right. So on the left, you're more likely to see absolute attacks upon Christianity, on the Christian moral code and so on, and connections between Christianity and Christendom and the West with white supremacy and patriarchy and that kind of thing. On the right, you're more likely to hear people say things like, well, I don't want any sort of ethics or morals taught inside of schools. I just think that schools ought to teach our kids how to read, write, do arithmetic, math, that's it, and that's all they should be doing. And the trouble with the second notion, which I think is much easier for us to fall into, is that if you send your kids away for 8 hours a day, every day, they're going to get a moral compass from somewhere. Because right. we're not machines who are there to be filled up with data. We're people. And originally, when we were, the point of education was not, hey, let's go ahead and make a worker. It was, let's go ahead and make a man. And there's a huge difference there, and one that recognizes a person's humanity and one that doesn't. And the modern insistence that we should just, you know, teach a person the sort of basics that he needs to function in as a worker in society, as opposed to recognizing his spirituality, the fact that he's a child of God. Well, I mean, that comes back to like John Dewey's role in education, which frankly is heinous. C.S. Lewis was warning about what Republicans are promoting, you know, back in the early part of the 20th century, saying that you can't create people like this, that it's not a noble goal in and of itself. Because that's the thing, I think that we can often fall into that trap a lot easier than we can fall into the alternative trap, which is just very obviously anti-Christian. But they're both anti-Christian in the broader sense, which is to say that they're denying the fundamental understanding of man and how, like, I mean, just unbelievably unique he is versus, you know, the animal world versus anything. Like we have such a gift of life. And to raise a child without teaching them that, without teaching them how to fully embrace it, I think that alone ought to be a crime.
Friends, we're talking today with Sarah Kay and the Crusader Gal. We're having a lively, timely Tuesday conversation. Sarah, it seems that you've put on something very important. We have, I have described for years the one of the key features of modernism is the progressive evacuation of the personal from the divine and from the human. So we don't even have nature and nature is God anymore. So we have, as Father Newhouse predicted, the so-called naked public square, where there can be no reference to the divine at all. And as Christians, we know, look, even as pagans, we know that if you separate yeah. the divine from the human, the humans are incomplete in a way that is extremely dangerous. And there used to be a clarity about what was necessary to form good character. I mean, children grew up reading stories that helped to inculcate the virtues. Would you say that what we're living in now is the result of a surrender of our moral vocabulary and our moral imagination, that we're afraid to talk about good and evil because we don't know how to name good and evil anymore? There's politically correct and incorrect. There's the politically favored or disfavored at any given moment. But we don't have the framework anymore to name things as good or evil. We don't know how to point to anything and say ought or ought not. What are your thoughts on that?
I absolutely agree. I think that we live in a society that is afraid to say such things, to point at something as being good or bad or evil, because that would be judgmental. And for some reason, we have emerged at this point in society where we're like, well, we can't be so judgmental as to label something as evil or good. And yeah, we've been so, frankly, secularized as a society for so long that we can't also, at least for most of culture, can't point to individuals and label them as good. Because instead, what happens is that anybody who has done, you know, great things throughout history gets caught onto by things like our academic system and also our media especially, and they'll find like one piece of that person's life that was identified as erroneous, where they did something wrong, that identified their humanity in some sense. Like, well, that person was therefore evil and we can never mention them again. This is important because throughout most of Christendom, we would have heroes. Like we would have saints, we would have martyrs who would point to and say, this person, you know, did what we ought to aim for. You know, they aimed higher. And that was the thing. We no longer aim higher. We no longer understand what it means to aim higher. We no longer understand what magnanimity is or herald it as a virtue. Instead, we're aiming for just, frankly, just the lowest. And we can't identify any virtue, so how could we aim higher? What is higher than you? You know? Mm-hmm. And instead, it's like very self-facing.
Right. There is a very great kind of confusion. And, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. Right. Mm-hmm. In the absence of moral guidance, something else will take its place. In fact, the absence of moral guidance is, in a sense, a kind of moral guidance. If the school is only trying to offer technical skills, that identifies the human person primarily as a worker. And frankly, the public schools, very many of them, have been failing at handing on basic technical skills for years. I just read a story about the superintendent of schools for the city of Baltimore, Maryland, and she's pulling down over $445,000 a year. At 23 of the schools within her district, none of the children can perform at grade level for math or for reading. Not one of them. So the handing on of skills, which has been adapted now as the primary good, has been a complete failure. Proper moral guidance in terms of true character that Christendom would recognize, that is ruled out of bounds a priori. So what we have is a daycare center where I think groomers and moral misfits see it as an opportunity to raise a generation of ideologues who can be manipulated, exploited, and worse. And I think if we're not willing to have that conversation, then we're doomed to fail. Friends, when we come back, we'll continue our Timely Tuesday conversation with political commentator and author Sarah Kane, better known as the Crusader Gal. We're going to be linking to all of her good work. Remember, our rallying cry here at the Catholic Current is Christus Mundum, Mundus Christo, bringing Christ to the world and the world to Christ. We do it because our Lord says so, for the greater glory of God, the love of our neighbor, and the salvation of our own soul. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Take this tip for your family and friends, and together we can take it around the world. We can do it with you. We cannot do it without you. Let's do this good work together. Back in just 2 minutes. Stay with us. This is Jesuit Father Robert McTague, your daily host of The Catholic Current. Join me on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern to reconnect with historian Dr. Derek Taylor. We'll be talking about conspiracy theories in the church. How do we separate fact from fiction? Don't miss out. Join us on The Catholic Current on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, coming to you from the Station of the Cross and the iCatholic Radio mobile app.
You're listening to The Catholic Current with Father Robert McTague from the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Stay connected with the show and our guests and topics by following the show on Twitter and Gab. Just search for The Catholic Current.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for The Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. Here we are, a timely Tuesday. One of our favorite guests, Sarah Kane, better known as the Crusader Gal, we're talking about whatever happened to common sense. Sarah, I want to take up the thread of the conversation from where we left it, that the Louisiana lawsuit about the display of the Ten Commandments is indicative of the fact that we've lost our moral imagination. We've jettisoned our moral compass, and we simply don't know what to do with ourselves. We don't know what to do with the past, present, or future. And maybe we shouldn't be surprised about that, because this is supposedly one of the benefits of being an atheist, is you're not so encumbered by moral concerns. And that brings me to – go ahead.
And yet, if I may, they're not real atheists. Not really. They're just unable to identify their own religion, because these same people who – you know, will scream about the Ten Commandments being in classrooms, don't think twice about pride flags being there. They don't think twice about all these different essentially beacons of degeneracy being placed, these different types of pagan worship being placed before children. They don't think about any of these things, which really is there are tenets of their new religion. And I think it's important to kind of remember that, because these are the people who still bring up blasphemy laws and complain about that, but they're also the same people who push for hate speech laws and that kind of thing. So it's like that they have a very much of a religious adherence to this set of anti-values that they hold, which are basically like the opposite of Christianity. But I don't think it's fair to actually call it true atheism to the degree, I'm not even sure that there is anybody who lives as a true atheist, but these people who are promoting the modern, what they would call secularism, it's not. It's a different type of paganism, a worse type of paganism than the paganism of old.
Right, and like a pagan religion, there are rituals and sacraments of initiation, as we saw during the cult of COVID worship, that if you didn't have the jab, you were among the unclean. And like, say, Hinduism, you have a caste system, that there is a hierarchy of victimhood, and the more victim boxes you can check, the more worthy you are. And then the lowest caste, of course, is white, male, Christian, heterosexuals. This seems to me to not be the basis of a culture, of a civilization, of a polity that can endure. What do you think it will take for the People Who Should Know Better Club, the Christian division of the People Who Should Know Better Club, to finally clear their throat and say, listen, Belloc was right, Christ or chaos. I don't like the chaos any more than you do. Let's have our come to Jesus moment. Is that wishful thinking on my part that could ever happen in our lifetime?
I don't know. I've been waiting for a while, and I forgive me for saying so, but I think you've been waiting for longer.
Well, yes.
I think that those who do know better need to be aware of the fact that it may not happen that the rest of society comes to the same understanding, and instead need to do what they can to separate themselves and especially their children from these environments. I do think that people should be aware that they shouldn't be sending their children in to try and change the environment in the public school or to try and fight that. I think it's dangerous. It's not good for the child. The child deserves better. Your child shouldn't be fighting your war for you. I don't think that's a moral ordering. I think that's actually a state of like internal disorder, personally. So I think that what we end up having to have is that Catholics and other Christians need to separate their children from that, because it is so bad, and it really is an alternative religion that you're exposing your kids to, not just exposing them, but immersing them for most of their day and hoping that doesn't have an impact, and it will. And instead you have to just separate yourself from that, put them in, you know, a separate school system if you have something that's better, or homeschooling them in an, you know, ideal situation, because that sort of impact I don't think can be overstated. Because, I mean, the entire school system right now, the public school system, is exposing them to things to try and get them to literally cut off their own genitals, to literally mutilate themselves and take hormones and not tell their parents about these things. Like, the level of evil has gotten so bad, it sounds like some kind of dystopian future, but it's actually now.
Alas.
It's bizarre.
Friends, we're speaking today with Sarah Kane, better known as the Crusader Gal. We're talking about whatever happened to common sense. So when I was in kindergarten, 5 years old, you know, thousands of years ago, I remember that at the end of the school day, the teacher would exhort us to pray for the end of the war, which confused me, because the only war that I knew of was World War II from John Wayne movies, and I thought that war was over. I really didn't know. I was 5 years old. What did I know about what was going on in Vietnam at the time? But there was an expectation of the formation of character. There was also some expectation of patriotism. We certainly saluted the flag every day. I mean, I remember when my brother graduated from eighth grade in the mid 60s, and their part of the graduation ceremony was they sang a lot of patriotic songs, and there was one inspiring song where it's kind of a variation of America the Beautiful, and these kids are singing, you know, I pledge thee my allegiance, America the Bold, for this is my country to have and to hold. Can you imagine the buildings would catch fire if we did something like that today? So it seems to me the deal was that because reasons, you had to absolutely separate any sense of morality from a public school, certainly any sense any theistic sense had to be absolutely expunged. A, that can never happen, but B, you had to do it so you could focus on the real task of the school, which is to impart skills, which they're manifestly failing at.
Yeah.
And so the children who are natural sponges are being exposed to the worst forms of ideology and perversion without much pushback, and yet there's hysteria about having a copy of the Ten Commandments on the wall. And you pointed this out rightly, even atheists like Richard Dawkins, who says, yeah, I don't believe in the Christian God, but I'd really rather live with Christians. What do you make of that in light of what we've been seeing in recent years?
Well, for one thing, I don't think that what he wants is possible. Like, I believe that he thinks it's possible, but it's not. I mean, I was growing up with him, like in my teens, in England, he had this massive campaign, advertising campaign. He was sort of like at the height of his popularity then, and he was just saying very aggressive things against God. And he had these books coming out, and he had these buses. And then on the buses, they had this massive text, and it was like, there's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life. And because the message of that is basically that don't even try and live better and live higher. Instead, just live according to your like primal desires, I guess you could put it, or according to your temptations. Because why resist the temptation if there is no God? And I found that kind of interesting that was implicit in the advertisement. But now, of course, he's saying that he wants to live in a Christian culture, even though he doesn't consider himself Christian. And I think there are so many conservatives, Republicans, however you want to put that, who say the same thing. Like, I'm not a Christian, but I believe in Christian values. I want to live in a Christian society. And I just don't think that works. I think that we've been trying that for quite a long time, actually. For the good part of a century, we've been trying to say, okay, well, we have these values, and this is sort of what makes the West, because this is how we've always had them. And then over time, you find them slipping because they don't have an anchor. It's like, if you can't say this is good and this is evil, and there is a God, you know, who is good, who literally is goodness itself, if you don't have him as an anchor, then you end up just trying to figure out, well, what really is good, though, in this situation? Because this one thing seems particularly nice, and therefore maybe it's good. And so you end up justifying all kinds of evils because you are essentially rewriting a moral code. And that's what we've been doing in especially America and Britain, over the last few decades. And we're in a point now where I think we've just completely lost our standard, because it's like we're defining moral by this undefined standard that's constantly being dragged according to niceness or according to, frankly, the collective masses. And over time, that's not going to sustain itself, because essentially those who really did believe are dying off, and those people were sort of like clutching to the anchor and providing some grounding to society. And now we're emerging at a point where people actually have to, well, to be candid, pick a side. Mm-hmm. because you have this division. This idea that you can hold to Christian values without Christ, I think is really dangerous, because you can think yourself grounded when you're actually only grounded in yourself.
Well, the idea that you could have Christian values without Christ, the underlying assumption is that man is not fallen. We've got just about 2 minutes left in this segment, so I'm going to open up a really big topic that we can go on into the next segment. Based on what you've said, that you can't have Christian values without Christ any more than you can have apple pie without an apple orchard, someone out there is screaming, oh my God, I knew it, they're Christian nationalists. Ah! Can you begin to respond to what I found to be a rather hysterical objection?
It is a hysterical objection. I think that what would be far worse than any of these claims is to be a person who's so vacuous as to have no grounding. And what we have right now is a sense of people who don't have a sense of nation or morality. And we also have a rapidly declining culture. And I don't actually know of anybody on any side who doesn't think that things are going in the wrong direction. I think that is because we have no sense of what we ought to be aiming toward anymore. And if you're going to actually have something that is worthy of being called a culture, then you have to look at, well, how do we treat things like, I don't know, our children, for example? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we treat the weakest among us, the most vulnerable, and yes, the unborn? And we have to look at these things and say, okay, how do you judge our society based upon an actual moral code and see that something is good and worth holding on to? And if there isn't, then we have to look back to when there was.
I think people want to live in a society on the cheap. They want neighbors to be well-behaved while the individual has absolute license. And they want to be protected without any basis for the sacrifices necessary for living in a safe and sane and moral society. Friends, we come back and continue our conversation with author and political commentator Sarah Kane. On this timely Tuesday, we're asking, whatever happened to common sense? After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Wherever you can find audio, you can find us. Follow us on your favorite platform, write a 5-star review. We need to attract the attention of the listeners so that these conversations get the attention they deserve. Everything you need to take this to your family and friends, we give to you. Together, let's take it around the world. Be back in just 2 minutes. Please do stay with us.
Not want to miss this one. Hi, Joe McClain here from A Catholic Take. And the 25th anniversary of the Station of the Cross is fast approaching. August the 24th, it's a big celebration at the Niagara Falls Convention Center. Bishop Strickland is coming, Raymond DeRorio, Mother Miriam, Father Matteg, Candace Owens, Jim Havens, myself and the whole crew, and we want you there too. Visit thestationofthecross.com for the details or to get registered today. Again, thestationofthecross.com.
This is the Catholic Current from the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Catch up on an episode you've missed or share them with your family and friends. The Catholic Current is podcasted wherever you enjoy listening. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, TuneIn, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app. We proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. It's a timely Tuesday. Our topic is Whatever Happened to Common Sense. Our returning guest is a listener favorite, author, commentator, YouTuber Sarah Kane, also known as the Crusader Gal. Sarah, I want to continue walking down the road that we have mapped out. That, you know, using our public school system as a test case, that there was a time when character formation was explicit, and character formation was explicitly Christian. And one of the reasons why Catholic schools were founded was not because they were using the Bible, for example, for character formation, but they were using the Protestant version. They were using the King James Version rather than, say, the Catholic version or the Douay Rheims. And that's one of the reasons why Catholic schools started. But there was certainly not much ambiguity that, you know, that God and patriotism and duty to neighbor and self-respect were all taken for granted. And it was recognized that the type of governance we had, so said our founding fathers, could only succeed in the hands of a moral people. And by a moral people, they meant religious and specifically Christian, granted Christian under a variety of flavors. And when we talk like this, people clutch their pearls and retire to their fainting couch and say, Christian nationalism. What is the basis of their hysteria? You know, you're a keen observer of the human condition. You follow politics and cultural developments very closely. Why do people run from – why do they treat any reference to a divinely endorsed morality as some sort of contagious plague?
Because they see it as a threat to their own way of living. Because it calls them to something other than their own self-worship, which has become so frankly, popular in our age, because it's easier to live according to one's own morality, which is to say according to what one wants to do, than it is to actually be what you're called to be. And I think that's the thing. Right now, we have so many people who want to live inside of this system that doesn't ask anything of them. It doesn't require them to actually work. It just, you know, they can just pretty much do whatever they want to do. But you're right. When you look at the way that America was founded, and if you look at the flip side of what you were saying about the country being created for immoral people. If you had an immoral people, that is the opposite of what we were expecting and hoping for, then what that necessitates is a police state. Because if people are not moral, which is to say, are not Christian, then they can only be forced to do the right thing by that force of the state, right? And ultimately, I think that's what we have in some cases sort of moving forward. You have a police state emerging in response to a decline in the culture, a decline of people's values and the way that they live. And that's a necessary consequence of the way that people are going, which is not to say that it's a consequence that I want. It is simply to say that it is a reaction that we could always expect, because otherwise you'll just have the breakdown of society. It won't work. The honor system won't work. The trust system won't work. People won't be neighborly, because there'll be no understanding of what it is to be a good neighbor, because there's no understanding of what it is to be good, because, you know, goodness comes from God. So when you have this complete divorce of God from the public understanding of how to act, then you end up in the situation of, well, we have to constantly use force to enforce a certain mode of behavior. And that's what we're actually moving toward.
Well, you know, I think of Chesterton, who said that if you don't, when it comes to morality, if you don't have a few big rules, then you have to have a whole lot of little rules. And when you have a society that is on more or less the same page morally, granted fallen human nature, weakness, et cetera, all I understand that. But you had a relatively high trust society. And there was a time when it was considered a badge of honor to live in a place where you didn't think about locking your doors at night, which is, you know, unthinkable. For a lot of America today. And ultimately, I think there's the suspicion that really God is the final buzzkill. He doesn't love us. He doesn't like us. He only wants to take away our good times. And also, I think there are some people in their heart of hearts know that they've set their hearts on things that God would forbid. You know, the grooming of children for sexual exploitation, to give a very specific example, right. As well. No, you don't get to decide whether or not you're male or female. And no, you can't encourage children to decide whether or not they're male or female. So it seems to me that we live in a society where God is treated as the obstacle. And, you know, and again, in a certain sense, that's not anything new, but my perception is that Christian communities, for the most part, have retreated from the battlefield. And their rallying cry is either, we just want to be left alone, or, you know, we promise to be nice, please let us administer some of the funds for the corporal works of mercy. I'm not seeing a lot of distinctively Christian leadership in the public square. Am I looking in the wrong places?
I must be looking in the same places. I'll say that much. No, I agree. I think that we have, when we look at Christians in public society today, they are in a position of retreat by and large. And I think that's horrendous, because this is, if you look at our society now, we need Christian voices, frankly, more than ever. Things are not going in such a great way that we just don't need to say anything, because everything is just, you know, headed in the right direction. So that's obviously not the case. I do think that we have sort of accepted, and I think by we, I mean like the entire society in general, has accepted this sort of false image of God. And you sort of were touching on this just a moment ago, but they've sort of put God in this situation solely as tyrant. You know what I mean? Like, he's there as a sort of punisher figure alone, and therefore he's the ultimate buzzkill. But he's also devoid of the fact that he is good. And that's the thing. It's like, because he's devoid of the fact that he's actually loving, because we don't understand what love is anymore, right? We've redefined what love is. Because so, instead you just have people at Pride Parade screaming love is love. Like, they're just completely confused. So they're just in this, like, dizzying circulature. But instead, we've got God as just purely as tyrant. I think that's part of the problem. I think that there are a lot of people who would even call themselves Christian who still see him that way instead of seeing, you know, instead of seeing him as a parent. They instead see him purely as this punishing figure. And because of that, I think even they are often reluctant to want to form a society around him because they don't see that this is actually a path toward love and happiness. And I think that's incredibly tragic.
Friends, we're talking today with the author and YouTuber Sarah Kane, the Crusader Gal. We're talking about whatever happened to common sense. My perception is, I've been watching the story arc unfold for a very long time, it's this, that we have, for a variety of reasons, certainly among Catholics and Protestants also, we've let our parishes, our congregations, our religious communities and orders, for the most part, collapse. And there's still a vestige of a bureaucracy, which, as the scriptures say, you know, too weak to dig, too proud to beg. You've got to feed the bureaucracy somehow. So let's sacramentalize the corporal works of mercy, outsource that to the federal government, so that a lot of Christian communities these days are propped up by state and federal funds, taking their cut for administrative course to administer the corporal works of mercy. We've become clients of Caesar. And right. All of this reassuring talk about there's going to be a Eucharistic revival and synodality, and we're all going to become Eucharistic missionaries, it all rings hollow to me, because there's not a confession of sin, and there's not an admission of what we need to do to do better. Is this too bleak to you, or do you think maybe I'm onto something?
Unfortunately, I agree. I wish that I didn't. But I do think that as you look at different parishes around the country, you really don't have enough in terms of, and this is such a misused word, but evangelization. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that in the way like get on TV and scream about how you should donate to the 500 Club. It's mm-hmm. not what I mean. But what I mean is that the people, and I can't really speak to Catholics more than Protestants just because of my own understanding here, but it's like so many of these Catholic parishes, the people never reach out. They just literally go to church on the Sunday and only on the Sunday, and then they show up and they just sort of do their thing. And it's ritualized in the worst sense, in the sense that I'm just following what I've done for a few years. I don't really understand why I'm doing it anymore. And there's actually no energy in it. There's no actual, dare I say it, belief in it. I was traveling a couple of weekends ago, and so I was actually, I'm blessed with a good home parish, but I was out of it in a different diocese, and I was in this parish where it was just full of what I've read about and heard so much about, like an aging population who seemed like they would rather be anywhere else. And, you know, I was there with some friends, and there was like three of us in veils there, and we seemed like so... like a living contradiction to the rest of the parishioners there. And then the priest acted in a way that we knew that he would based upon the age of the population there and their disinterest. So like he acted completely disinterested himself. Like he went to clean the vessels with the cloth, and then he threw the cloth inside the chalice and then just moved it to the side like it was out of his way. And it was just these mannerisms and motions that just show, frankly, an absolute what looked like an absence of belief is certainly an absence of respect and reverence. And it's like, if we don't do these things even inside of our inside of our churches, how would that possibly manifest out into the world? And instead, what I think when I said evangelization, what I mean is that first you put the reverence back in the Mass and in the churches, and you demonstrate love for Christ by how you act and how you worship, and we make that right. And then we reach out into the world with things like Eucharistic processions in order to show the differences between that world and between what we believe, and thus inspire people to a better mode of living, both on the individual and on the collective level, because that's actually what we're called for, and that is the higher being that is completely in opposition to the sort of vacuousness that we see inside of schools, inside of media, just frankly throughout the entire secular world right now.
See, I think that we have, we don't know how to be happy warriors anymore, that there really isn't anything worth fighting for. And I've prayed about this, I've preached about it, I've certainly broadcast about it, and I'm going to be writing more about it, that God is just, God is a tax that you have to pay. And you've got to pay your tax, or there's going to be a very ugly audit at the end of your life. But once you placate God with the tax, your 49 minutes and a couple bucks in his tip jar, then God is rightly put back on the shelf until he comes to collect the time tax on Sunday. And otherwise, God doesn't have anything to say. And real life is, you know, your magic story box that you stare into at every waking moment. And real life is your ambitions and your appetites, but it doesn't have anything to do with the living God. Sarah Kay and the Crusader Gal, God bless you. Very good work. Thank you for a fascinating conversation. And I do look forward to next time.
Thank you so much. As do I, Father.
I'm Jesuit Father Robert McTague, your host here every day of the Catholic Current. You want to stay with us for the rest of the hour, because we're going to end up with timely thoughts, you and me reflecting on what we've heard today. Be part of the conversation, follow or following by following us on Gab. That's GAB.com. The channel is the Catholic Current. And you can influence the conversation. You can contact us at thestationofthecross.com/askfather. Comments, questions, objections, recommendations, we read it all. Let's do this good work together. Back in just 2 minutes. Please do stay with us.
There's no better way to start your day than with spiritual formation from inspiring priests.
We have to remember, as we look back through history, life was very difficult for people, and therefore faith was fairly easy. In our society, life has become very easy, and therefore the faith has become very difficult. Life has become so simple and easy, so God's going to test our faith.
That's Sermons for Everyday Living, weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern on the Station of the Cross.
Have a question or feedback about today's episode? Want to suggest a guest or a future topic? Go to thestationofthecross.com/askfather and help influence the conversation.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. Here it is, the last segment of A Timely Tuesday, you and me sharing timely thoughts, reflecting on what we've heard today. My guest was a listener favorite, author and political and cultural commentator Sarah Kane, also known as the Crusader Gal, talking about whatever happened to common sense. Here's where the conversation went, that you can't have a culture, a body politic, a civilization really flourish without Christ. The idea of having the so-called Christian values and then not have any reference to a Christian foundation, to Christian truths, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. What I would like to see
is people in positions of authority say that because Christ has risen from the dead, we know these truths about marriage, for example. I'm not holding my breath for that. Friends, here's what concerns me. In my lifetime, we have been fed the lie that we can absent God and Christ more and more from the public square. We can become more and more secular. And yet all the things that we hold dear as Christians, the sanctity of human life, the uniqueness of the human individual, charity towards neighbor, the rule of law, honesty, integrity, trust, we could have all those good things, and we can have them while hiding Christ and denying Christ and having people who reject Christ govern us, hold sway over us, not only in the political sphere, but in the culture and academic spheres as well. And that is obviously not working. Now, let me pause for a second so that critics can scream, "Oh my gosh, Father's a Christian nationalist. He wants the Pope to rule America." But No, I'm not talking about a state religion or anything like that. What I am talking about is having Catholic Christians be so motivated that they are public about their private devotion to Christ. I'm looking for Catholic communities to say, you can see in our lives and in our striving and in our ongoing conversion what difference the presence or absence of Christ makes. I said during the show, I said it to Sarah fairly often, we've lost our moral vocabulary, we've lost our moral imagination, we've jettisoned our moral compass, and at most, we just want to be left alone. Believe me, I understand that temptation, and I also understand it as a temptation. Precisely because we are Christians, the world in rebellion against Christ cannot afford to leave us alone. And my fear, my grief, my anguish is the perception that the good folks at St. Typical's are not equipped for battle at all. That they really have nothing to contribute to the culture war. They have no facility or inclination to work for justice for the unborn. There are people who see God as, well, really, look, they're pagans. They see God as a manageable tyrant who can be placated if you give an hour a week and throw a couple of bucks in his tip jar, and then God Almighty leaves you alone and you can get on with real life. And just as you'd really rather not pay any taxes at all, but there are consequences if you cheat, likewise, you'd really rather not deal with God at all. But you make the most minimal effort to placate him so that he'll leave you alone, or that you can feel justified in turning your back on God the rest of the week. If you doubt me, think about what goes through the mind of the person who puts on his flip-flops, adjusts his dirty gym shorts, puts on his faded SpongeBob SquarePants t-shirt as an adult, and says it's time to go to Mass. Think about the people in the pews who've just exchanged a gustatory sign of peace with their neighbor, who has just communed with the living God by receiving Holy Communion, please God, while in a state of grace, and then literally shove me out of the way during the recessional because they need to get out of the church because my walking in cadence with the hymn gets in the way of that. Are those the people that we're going to depend on in the fight for religious freedom, are those are the people we are going to depend on to fight for the rights of Christ the King? Are those the people we're going to depend on in the ongoing battle of the culture war? I don't think so. I don't think they know how. I don't think they know why. And I don't think they want to. So what to do? Well, always, 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 we have to start with our own conversion. Friends, make no mistake, I am a sinner. Like St. Paul, I work out my salvation with fear and trembling. I go to confession regularly. I beg God to have mercy on me, a sinner. We are always in need of a more profound conversion to Christ. And someone, somewhere, is going to have to admit publicly that we haven't been doing this right for a very long time, that we've surrendered the field of culture, politics, and academia. We have surrendered those fields to the enemy of Christ for decades. We have to admit that. We have to be specific about how and why it happened and what we're going to put in place to make sure that it never happens again. You've heard me say before about various dioceses that are imploding. They're closing churches, but it's going to be parish families and parish hubs and clusters of families. And that way we'll be more intentional about discipleship, blah, 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 blah. It is mere talk. It's background chatter as we try to graciously manage the decline, unless and until we confess that we messed up, that we failed our Christian duties. And here's what's going to happen to make sure that this never happens again. What do you think about that claim? And how likely do you think that it's going to be that we're going to have these public statements of conversion? Let me know. Write to me, please, at thestationofthecross.com/askfather. I'm Jesuit Father Robert McTague, your host here every day at the Catholic Current. You want to join us tomorrow, we'll be welcoming back historian Dr. Derek Taylor. We'll be talking about conspiracy theories and the church. How do we separate fact from fiction? After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Wherever you can find audio, you can find us. Take this to your family and friends. Together, we'll take it to the whole world. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go in peace, and please do pray for me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by thestationofthecross.com, a listener-funded nonprofit organization. Please prayerfully consider donating at thestationofthecross.com by calling 1-877-888-6279 or through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app.